An Air That Kills, Lydmouth, Book 1, written by Andrew Taylor and read by Philip Franks.
Into my heart an air that kills from yon far country blows. What are those blue remembered hills? What spires? What farms are those? A. E. Houseman, A Shropshire Lad, 40. Part 1, Wednesday. Chapter 1. November is the month of the dead. Jill Francis acquired this scrap of information quite by chance, and only minutes before she reached Lydmouth. The train had rattled out of a tunnel and into the daylight. The wind drove the smoke from the engine at window level along the line of carriages. Jill coughed and put down her book. The window of the compartment was slightly open. "Allow me," said the bearded man in the corner by the door. "Thank you." The compartment had been full when they left Paddington 2.5 hours earlier. Now there were only the two of them. She thought that the beard gave the man an ostentatiously nautical air, which did not fit with the rest of his appearance. Perhaps he had served in the Navy during the war, and like so many men of his age, was reluctant to leave the past behind. He laid his own book on the seat between them and stood up. He was slightly built, and wore a brown double-breasted pinstripe suit with a poppy in the buttonhole. The suit was badly cut and hung loosely on him. His beard was neatly trimmed, and his complexion had the texture of candle wax. The train swayed, and he steadied himself by holding on to the luggage rack. When he closed the window, he was careful not to brush against Jill's knees. He smelled powerfully of tobacco and eau de cologne. "Thank you," she said again as he edged past her. "My pleasure entirely." The man hesitated, which made Jill instantly wary. He waved towards the window and added, "It's a pretty sight, eh?" She looked up again, first at him, and then through the window. The train was running parallel to the river. On the farther bank was a rolling patchwork of fields, which rose gradually towards a range of blue hills in the west. It was a grey day, and mist blurred the outlines of the hills. The train was still in England, but the hills must be in Wales. She supposed that in normal circumstances it would strike her as a beautiful landscape. She wasn't quite sure what normal meant any longer. "Super, eh?" the man said in a flat, unemotional voice. Jill nodded and allowed her eyes to stray back to her book. She turned a page. A moment later, the man slid back the door of their compartment and disappeared into the corridor. She was alone for the first time since this morning, when the taxi had arrived to take her from the flat to Paddington Station. As if on cue, her eyes began to smart with tears. "Damn it," Jill said aloud. In an attempt to distract herself, she glanced towards the book which her fellow passenger had been reading. It lay face upwards on the seat. She could see the pages without moving her head. Probably a detective novel, she thought, or perhaps a textbook on a subject like accountancy or surveying. The running title at the top of the left-hand page dispelled this idea. It said, "Aspects of Common Culture." Jill skimmed through the first few lines, gathering the sense even though the unshed tears made the lines of print buckle and blur. "Is often referred to as the month of the dead. The Dutch called November Slachtmaand, which means slaughter month. This clearly corresponds with the Anglo-Saxon Bloedmonath, or blood month. It was the time of year when the beasts were slain and salted for the winter months. As so often happens, pagan usages, albeit much altered, have descended into the modern world. The Roman Catholic Church, for example, celebrates All Souls' Day on the 2nd of November, when worshippers pray for the souls of those in purgatory. Curiously enough, we mourn the millions who died in the Great War in November, on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Strangeways and Foster have shown..." A change in the light, a minute darkening of the page, alerted Jill to the fact that she was no longer alone. The door slid back. The bearded man came in and sat down. She wondered whether he had seen her prying. To her surprise, she found that she didn't much care.